I think it's the privilege of a lifetime to actually know who you are and understand yourself. Because when you know who you are and understand yourself, you can know other people and understand them more deeply and have really fulfilling relationships, starting with yourself. And life becomes a lot more meaningful and juicy, and you're not asleep at the wheel and you're not just going through the motions. You're actively participating in a deeply fulfilling life.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Another episode, another review to highlight, and this one is from username HearAidUser via Apple Podcasts. And they actually titled this review, Dom is an Awesome Podcaster. Yeah, well, thank you very much, appreciate it. They left 5 stars and said that, quote, the Going North Podcast is a fun, insightful, and real gem. Dom has thoughtful questions and gets a wonderful banter going. Well worth subscribing. And that there, right, is well worth subscribing indeed. So for those who haven't yet, be sure to subscribe if you haven't already and this is not your first time here. If this is your first time here, or should I say your first time here, be on the lookout because you're going to get a treat that's good enough to eat, metaphorically. And if you like something about the show and about this podcast, let us know and leave us a review and we'll highlight it on a future episode. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth today, known as podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat 10 times over indeed, because we got one heck of a guest for you today, because we got a multi-award winning author who is also a decorated coach, who was actually certified by Columbia University, which I believe is a first for this podcast. And not only that, she's also a wonderful, wonderful communications expert, as well as a wonderful, successful entrepreneur, meditation teacher, broadcast journalist, and international TV personality. And you're probably like, who is this person with the bio that is a 10-foot-tall ice cream sundae with a cherry on top? It belongs to the kind and energetic Kate Ekman. How you doing today, Kate?
I'm wonderful, Dom. Thank you for that intro and thank you for having me.
Woohoo! That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Excited to have you here. That's right indeed. Checked out your bios and stuffs and heard your wonderful book on audio. I'm glad you read your book. I always appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate you listening.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. And what makes it even more beautiful is that you're one of the book boomers, one of those wonderful authors who came out of the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote it, edited it, promoted it, published it all during COVID. So it was the people who were saying they were getting bored. I was probably working some of the hardest I worked during the pandemic, but it really kept my spirits high and gave me a really strong purpose and meant a lot to me.
But hey, so my goodness, so as with everything going on in the wonderful world of book boomers, how was that journey for you?
You know, my favorite part about the book journey was absolutely writing it. I loved writing the book. I got so much joy from doing the research and having a creative outlet and really getting to share everything that I've learned and tell personal stories that helped prove the point or drive the anecdote, the research home. And you know, those people who have done books, they know it can be a daunting experience between, you know, getting the proposal together. And then if you went the route that I went with getting an agent and getting a publisher and going that direction, you know, there's a lot to go through there. And then some people, if you're self-publishing, there's a lot to manage. So you have to have a really, really strong why, and you have to have a strong determination and work ethic and discipline, because it is not for the faint of heart. And I think with anyone who has authored a book, they know that it can be a daunting but very exciting adventure. And for me, going the route of getting an agent and getting a publisher and I'm just so grateful for my team, but really, if I didn't have a really strong why for this project, I don't know how I would have got it done and you know, written 90,000 words in 3 months during the pandemic. But it really spoke to the two men that I dedicated the book to, Sam and Roth, who I sadly lost to suicide, and really dedicating it to everyone who struggles with mental health, which, as I've learned during the pandemic, it is all of us. We all struggle in some way. And I think it's really important that we admit that and talk about it and find healthy outlets and people that we can confide in and work with professionals. You know, I've worked with some really great therapists and coaches, and there's no shame in that. And I think people are just managing so much right now. And if you can put it all into a book with research and personal anecdotes, and if that's your calling, please do. And if even if one person benefits from reading your book, all the better. But I really think it's that time in our history with just unprecedented event after unprecedented event occurring to really double down on your activism work or double down on what you can personally contribute to help uplift and impact the world in a positive light. And everyone has something and everyone has that gift. And the days of, well, someday, or I'll wait, or I mean, tomorrow is not guaranteed for any of us. And I just think it's so important that we really, really do what lights us up with the people who light us up. And, you know, no one really talks about the grief of having to, you know, have the courage to walk away from some people that we love, or, you know, some friendships or other relationships just kind of falling out, because we grow and we outgrow people, and maybe some people outgrow us as well. But just the importance, I can't stress enough, of figuring out who you are and what you really want to do, and then take some inspired action steps to doing that today, now, as you're listening to it, and really tune in and spend some quiet time alone and figure out what that is, and then get going on it.
Woohoo! That's right indeed. Get going on it indeed. That's right indeed. Get going on it indeed. That's right indeed. So did it feel like you're swimming in a giant ocean, maybe the Atlantic Ocean, to finally get to the other side, since you have a background as an All-American swimmer?
I like how the analogy. Well, I will say my 17-year competitive swimming career certainly gave me the discipline to do this project and complete it. And I write about it in the book, like really identifying and flexing our signature strengths and asking yourself, you know, when you're facing a challenging moment or a big goal or a lot of work to put in, you think, how the heck am I going to do this? Is to ask yourself, what made me successful in the past? And for me as a swimmer, I was very consistent. I was very disciplined. I was a great teammate, and I showed up and was always willing to show up and do my best and put in the work. And so sometimes that looks like some really brilliant sentences and words coming out for your manuscript. And other days, maybe you don't have that. So you spend the time doing research, or you spend the time talking to a colleague or friend and brainstorming and just having a conversation to get some ideas flowing. But everyone has something that they're really, really great at. Everybody has strengths and values. And I think the more that we can identify and lean into those, that will really pull us through any challenging time or any dark moment. And then we'll really, you know, capitalize on the times when we're in the flow and in a really great place. We can, you know, perform at an even higher level when we're aware of those strengths and those values.
Heck yeah, indeed. Heck yeah, indeed. And that's pretty huge, especially for elite performers and top performers. And you're definitely one of them indeed. So my goodness, so with so many things going on, like with all these accolades you've acquired, like what are you excited about next?
I'm really excited about taking things day by day, and I'm excited about continuing to get to know myself even more. And I'm in a bit of a transitional period in my life. And I think for a lot of people that can be quite uncomfortable or frustrating, and maybe even you feel stuck and some self-doubt might start to creep in. But if you really consciously spend that time thanking the universe or God or whatever you believe in for having some time and space to switch gears and to really discover who you are and figure out what you really want, those opportunities and experiences will be presented to you. But I really am in a place now of taking things day by day. I'm letting the universe surprise me. I'm trying to be more in receiving mode rather than the hustle and grind. You know, you get to a certain point, you put in so much work and you just think, you know, let's let the universe surprise me, or open to something that maybe I haven't considered before. I think I'm in the space where I've realized I don't always know best. I think a higher power knows best for us. And I choose to believe that. And so I'm trying to have more fun. I kept hearing that. You know, I think we get little nudges or we hear things over and over and we oftentimes ignore them because we think, who has time for fun or who has time to do that? Or, you know, you get this intuitive hit that says, you know, you should move to this other city. And you think, I don't even know anybody there. Why would I move there? I just moved here. But I think the more that we really listen to that voice, our higher selves, that innate wisdom that's always speaking to us, we just have to become more practiced at listening and really just start going off that guidance and intuition rather than the, well, I got to do what will make my parents proud or what the neighbors think is cool or what society says I should want or should be doing. That's why, you know, you see so many people so unhappy is that it hasn't even occurred to them that they can call the shots and go off script and do something that's maybe unexpected or even disrupting the status quo. And I'm certainly a spokesperson for that. So I guess anyone who's listening, I just want you to really hear and hopefully feel that this is your invitation to maybe try something new, to expect the unexpected, to do something that may shock or surprise people, especially yourself, and to really embrace the present moment and truly believe that everything that happens for us is meant to bring us closer to ourselves and closer to a higher power if you believe in that.
That's right indeed. Even if it's weed, if that's the higher power. That's right indeed.
You're silly, my friend.
That's right indeed. Silly, not a billy goat. Although sometimes maybe a billy goat involved. But hey, it ain't about billy goats. My goodness, so with this wonderful, wonderful speak of higher power and the power of God and all the wonderful, wonderful good stuff. Like, what was your transition like to full spiritualist with this wonderful time that you're in? Were you always so spiritual?
That's an interesting question because I think we all are spiritual and we're born that way. To me, being spiritual is about being connected to myself, a higher power, knowing that there's a more powerful force in the world than little old me, and really trying to follow that guidance and that power, but also knowing that that is in me and it's in you and it's in everybody. The full spirit workout came about because I had a swimming career and, you know, I trained my physical muscles a lot, and everyone's heard of a full body workout that you can do at the gym. But much less emphasis is placed on our mental, emotional, and spiritual muscles and getting fit on the inside. And so I really want that to be a mainstream concept and for people to spend more time, energy, and even money working out those muscles, whether you're with a coach or another professional, and knowing that when you get really fit and strong and resilient and confident on the inside, you have all the power. And then the outside takes care of itself. You attract the right people, opportunities, experiences, and you don't have to try so hard. So it really is a you know, complete 180 from the thinking of the world that stresses the importance of the hustle and the grind and making things happen. This is certainly putting in the work, but then taking your hands off the wheel and not gripping so tightly and really allowing the magic to work through you and trusting. You know, confidence stems from the words to trust, to do something with trust. So that's a spiritual concept to me in itself. And people think confidence usually is all the externals. And, you know, when you do this work on the inside, you will see the effects in the external world, which is really cool.
Cooler than two cucumbers indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness. So with that wonderful, wonderful answer, my goodness. So with that wonderful discovery and the fact that a lot of us are spiritual and don't want to admit it, heck, even probably atheists, especially the agnostics, my goodness. So was there a moment in life where it really clicked for you, where you had a major setback that actually became a setup for success? I guess in this case, spiritual success for you, where it all finally felt like it clicked?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all go through traumas and tragedies. None of our childhoods were perfect. And for me, the wake up call was losing two loved ones to suicide in 1 year. And we just, you know, had the anniversaries of both of them, you know, in October. And it just, it changed my whole life. It changed the trajectory of my life. And it really made me become more conscious and aware of how I was choosing to live my life, which was like many, placing my worth in the externals, you know, our job, how much money we're making, the house, the car, what we look like, all of those things and all the shiny objects that can bring nothing but temporary happiness. And I love shiny objects and nice things, you know, as much as the next person. But I was finding that, you know, you reach this goal, you get the thing and you're really happy for 15 or 20 minutes. And then it's on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And so really having our lives be a lot more fulfilling and meaningful than just the accolades and awards that we're collecting and getting to a place where you have nothing left to prove. And it really is about who you are as a person, not what you can do for people or offer in terms of connections and money and more of what maybe you can offer them. Your undivided attention. I mean, what a gift that is to actually listen to people and to care what they have to say and be present with them. And I think it's an epidemic in our culture that people who love us or even claim to love us aren't able to really see or hear or acknowledge us. So, you know, it is a journey for everyone. And I think a lot of times we go through tough times and we think, well, who has time to deal with that? And we just stuff it down with drugs, alcohol, food, whatever your drug of choice is. And so, you know, this is really an invitation to spend some time with what has caused you pain, spend some time with the trauma, the anxiety, the depression, and not let it control you any longer. And knowing that there is a lot of hope and opportunity and strength from our most challenging days. And I think that the more we can talk about these things openly, the less power that they will have over us.
The less power indeed. I could say that again indeed, because it's so true indeed. So true indeed. Because, yeah, definitely a lot to unpack there, especially because, especially the gift of really just attention and giving someone your undivided attention, no less, too, especially with the battle for our attention out there. Because it's like, oh, yeah, information age. It's like, nah, fam, we're in the attention age because a lot of stuff is being recycled, repurposed, and put out there just 10 times over. And it's like, hey, let's see if we can distract them from their family and friends and loved ones and see if we can get them to not focus on the important things and focus on some things that don't even matter.
Amen. It's actually, you know, I was even with some friends this weekend and their kids and, you know, some college students, and it was just, they were showing me something on their phone, and I was looking at a 1 minute video, and I think he got like 70 freaking notifications from this app and that app. And I said, your phone gives me anxiety. And he's like, it gives me anxiety too. And just we're constantly bombarded. And wow. Most of the stuff we're bombarded with is really negative and really horrifying. I mean, what's going on in the world? And you're right. It is just, it's like a mind suck and a mind, you know what else. And you have to consciously, you know, for me, I've turned off all the notifications on my phone, except for phone and text. And woo-hoo. it's too much. It's too much. And, you know, sometimes people look at you like, oh, I don't know about just, you know, meditating or sitting quietly in a room alone and staring out the window. I call that my sit and stare practice, and really checking in with yourself and quieting the mind. And the people that say, oh, must be nice, or that's cute, good for you. But they say, I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to sit and stare and self-reflect or check in with myself. And I say, well, I don't have time to be angry. I don't have time to, you know, yell at my loved ones because I'm overwhelmed. I don't have time to not care for myself. Or, you know, you just even see, I mean, I live in California. There's like always like some car accident or something shutting down the 405. It's just like, everyone's just rushed and not present. And I mean, that's my wish for everyone, just to slow it down a little bit and really be a little more selective with what you're giving your time and energy to and who you're giving your time and energy to.
Definitely indeed. So my goodness. So with that magical meditation, even becoming a meditation teacher on Insight Timer, no less. So my goodness, what would you consider your biggest gift gained thus far from your meditation practice?
I think having a really good relationship with myself and really knowing myself. And, you know, that's, you got to explore the light and the dark parts of yourself. The, you know, some people call it your shadow side and your light side, but I think it's the privilege of a lifetime to actually know who you are and understand yourself. Because when you know who you are and understand yourself, you can know other people and understand them more deeply and have really fulfilling relationships starting with yourself. And life becomes a lot more meaningful and juicy, and you're not asleep at the wheel and you're not just going through the motions. You're actively participating in a deeply fulfilling life.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about. Days I'm talking about. Indeed. Definitely want that fulfillment indeed, especially when it comes to life, because hey, don't want to be a zombie with the wonderful distraction slab and letting the notifications fly off the handle. Like, I'm glad you said it to where you only get the important stuff, like the phone and the text messages, not the other stuff that'll flood your phone.
Right?
Yeah, it's like, dude, this is a party that I did not want to go to. And I'm hosting it via the home of my phone here. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Metaphorically, of course. Metaphorically, of course. So what's the nighttime routine for you? Because you mentioned designing your day in the magical book, The Full Spirit Workout, and books always talking about morning routines. Do you have a specific night routine that helps you to be in peak performance state to start off a new day?
I do. I'm a big proponent of bubble baths and using the Epsom salts just to, you know, kind of cleanse the, not just the body, but the mind and get a little reset. And I think it's good to, it's really relaxing before bedtime. And then I have my bedroom set up for optimal sleep. I think sleep is such an important part of our health and our morning and evening routine. But you know, I have chromotherapy, which is a different light therapy that helps calm the spirit. I like to do a red light therapy. I have, you know, the air purifier and the fan. So it's that perfect, beautiful noise. I sleep with the sound machine. I've invested in a high quality mattress and sheets and pillows. And, you know, I don't think this is something, I don't even think it's a luxury or high maintenance. I think it's part of healthcare. And I'd rather spend, you know, $1,000 setting up the bedroom for optimal sleep than 10, 20 and up at the emergency room or the hospital because I'm unhealthy. And a lot of people are not getting not just the amount of sleep that they need, but the quality of sleep. So I think a little reminder just to set your sleep space up for success. You know, I got the blackout shades. I mean, I really have set it up to, and I can tell when I travel, even if I stay at a nice place, I'm like, this is not set up for optimal sleep like at my house. So have some fun with it. Spend some time really doing that and see if it works. It's good to keep your bedroom cool, even if you're usually cold, because we do tend to get hot when we sleep. I mean, I even sleep with the mouth guard because we're all grinding our teeth, and I'm a proud dentist daughter. So trying to keep the teeth healthy and nice. So whatever this means to you, even if you take one of these tips or look, but try one of these things. I swear it will help. And then of course people say, you know, don't be on your phone right before bed. And I need to work on that because I will do some reading and things like that. But I find that that kind of helps me relax as well.
Sweet. So I'm talking about a magical list indeed, a magical list indeed. And you said something very powerful and it kind of reminded me and kind of combined or I guess linked it up with one of the things in your bio. I was like, hey, if I'm gonna invest $1,000 for a great night routine, it's like, hey, that can lead to you being part of a successful launch for a beauty product that makes $4 million in its first day. So that's the power of investment right there. It's like, no, she didn't get all the money, but hey, it's still a huge major investment, like investing in yourself and especially your night routine indeed.
Yeah, you're investing in your longevity and your health, and you'll get a lot more done in less time. You'll, you know, treat yourself and others better. It sets your whole life up for success. And I think, you know, I'm not 25 anymore. I'm not 35 anymore. So I'm just becoming more aware. I think I was traveling this summer and I meet people 20, 30 years older than me. And they all say, I wish I would have done more traveling and international traveling when I was younger. I think so many of us wait until we're older and retired, and you're able to do a lot more and enjoy it a lot more when you're younger. And I don't want to wait until I have, you know, I've seen some relatives really suffer when they get older because they didn't take care of themselves necessarily when they were my age and younger. And so, you know, doing the work now that so I can, you know, God willing, live as long as possible and even get to that age, but you know, not be suffering when I'm in my 60s, 70s, 80s and beyond, that you can really still be full of life and vitality and enjoy your kids and your grandkids or friends or hobbies, whatever you want to do, and not be like, oh, I wish I, you know, okay, I'm retired now or I have some money now, but you're in a horrible health. So it's just something to think about before it gets too late.
Sweet. Well said indeed. Well said indeed. It's so right. It's like, man, it's like the whole traveling thing is probably one of the main things I hear a lot from folks when they give advice to younger selves, like, hey, travel, make sure you take good care of yourself so that way you can enjoy life as you age. Because yeah, sometimes it falls on deaf ears, especially in the late teens or early 20s. Heck, maybe even the 30s too. It's like, hey, take care of yourself now because those darn nagging injuries will come back later if you get any.
Yeah, we take our health for granted, especially in our 20s and 30s. 20s, you know, we think we're invincible, and then 30s, and then, you know, you just, I think a lot of us, and that's what I learned from losing loved ones, you know, so tragically, is that we're all guilty of taking so many things for granted, you know, our health, our lives, our friendships, our family members, our careers, our homes, just anything. And I had, when I went to Africa too, and just saw how people were living there years ago, it was really opened my eyes to how spoiled we are in the States. And certainly not everybody. There's sadly a lot of poverty in America as well. But, you know, if you're privileged enough to have a phone or computer and be listening to this right now, just know that you're blessed a lot more than a lot of people. And, you know, I just ask you, you know, what do you want to do with your precious time here? And it doesn't have to be some grand gesture. You don't have to start your own company and be CEO or write 20 books or whatever it is. It can be something as simple as, I'd like to have a, you know, healthy workout routine. I'd like to have a really beautiful relationship with my spouse or my parents or, you know, my best friend, and talk about something besides the weather, and be able to really deeply connect with people, because that, you know, research shows, and certainly my own life has indicated that really our connections to other people is what lights us up. Or you talk to people who have more money than they could ever spend, and they're like, you know, it's nice, I have a nice house, I have a nice car, I go on some nice trips, have nice dinners, but really the things that matter most and that bring me the most joy are things that I had when I was broke, and it's relationships. So something to think about when you feel maybe I don't have enough, or I'm not where I want to be. And, you know, maybe spending some more time thankful for the people in your life, even if you just have one friend, even if it's right now, you're just spending a lot of time alone, trying to figure things out, that you have that beautiful relationship with yourself.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. Cause that's where it starts. Definitely got to have a beautiful relationship with yourself. You got to like what you like yourself, because you're basically stuck with yourself. Yes, indeed. And it starts with yourself indeed. That's right indeed. So many valid points today, because yeah, definitely, like the USA, it's like, hey, it's going through a rough time right now, especially with all the poverty and the tent cities and the homelessness. But it's like, hey, there's still a big amount of opportunity left over in the country compared to some other places in the world. So yeah, definitely, definitely indeed, good privilege indeed. I just noticed those two words together. Ah, well, I ain't editing that out. Well, anyway, so since you've been on so many interviews, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the microphone?
I love that question. That is such a great question. I love that they'd ask that question more, put me on the spot. You know, this has been fun. I know sometimes when you're a guest, it's more about you, but I think it would be more fun if more podcasts, you know, we kind of had a back or forth, and some do, where, you know, the host like yourself shares a lot too. And it's, you know, I could ask some questions back. Maybe I'm used to that as the journalist, but I just wish more people, just in general, whether it's on a podcast or a date or, you know, a dinner or really any event or like holiday with the family, I'm finding that there's so much surface level, superficial communication happening everywhere. And I don't know what it is where people, and I've heard a lot of people complain about this or be upset about it or be disappointed by it, where people really aren't asking each other many questions. You might get the like, hey, how you doing? Or if like you live in Texas, oh yeah, hey, how's Texas? But there's not, and people just kind of half listening to the answer. It's almost like they don't want you to answer. It's just, oh yeah, hey, how you doing? How's Texas? And you laugh, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And and we've all been there, and maybe we've done that too. Oh yay, how you doing? How's Texas? Good to see you. All right, bye. But there's this whole lack of really even wanting to get to know people or even go there. And I think it's, again, because they haven't met themselves on a deep level. And so I just wish that when I was with people who especially love me or claim to love me, they could ask more meaningful questions, and we could actually really, and this isn't everybody, but we could all actually really get to know each other in a more profound way. And, you know, that's why I love my coaching certification and going through that process. And it's all about the questions that we ask each other. So I guess to answer your question, I don't know if I'm doing that great of a job, but I just wish that whatever the question is, people would really have the intention of what can I ask to really get to know this person or get under the hood of the car. Or, you know, when I was an entertainment reporter and it's these celebrities who have been asked the same question a million times, like, oh, what was it like working with Tom Cruise? And, you know, asking them something that trying to think of, I wonder what a question that Tom Cruise probably hasn't been asked, or what would my audience find really interesting that I don't know about this guy? So I think, again, that takes some time really being thoughtful. So I don't really have a specific answer for you, but I just wish in general, we all asked each other deeper questions and we cared more than just about where do you live? Where are you from? What do you do? When people say, when I'm anywhere and someone's like, so what do you do? I literally want to like fall off my chair or get up and run away. And I just, we got to do better than that. And I called some guy out in Vegas. I was there recently. And I just flat out said, I'm like, you know, that's my least favorite question. He's like, I know. But it's just like, I'm so used to asking it. I'm like, well, I challenge you to come up with, you know, something different. And even if you ask someone, you know, what lights you up or what energizes you? And maybe they talk about their work, but maybe they talk about their son who was just born, or maybe they tell you about their incredible trip to Australia. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going there next month. You like, where should I go? And you just have a more interesting conversation. So I could go on and on about this topic clearly. So I guess a kind of general answer is just anything that really, I guess, isn't about work or isn't about like, so more concepts and ideas as opposed to things is my answer.
Hey, powerful thoughts right there. Actually kind of reminds me of one of our past episodes, our past guests, I believe, Tatiana Cameron, who was actually from Croatia, where she talked about her time where she went to Tennessee for the first time and she was going with a rough day, and the cashier asked her, hey, how's it going? And she actually gave her a mouthful and the cashier gave her a hug and embraced her. Yes. Like, oh, bless your heart and the good
yes
stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's definitely missing from basically communication today. So this is actually good since you're a communication expert. So any two tips for having deeper connections with each other? You already mentioned giving full undivided attention early in the conversation, so that's why I limited it to two, since you already dropped one.
Yeah, or I think, you know, a question, maybe because I'm empathetic and I think it's important to talk about feelings, because, you know, sadly men, I feel like, are given a script at birth that says don't talk about your feelings, don't cry. And I think it's so harmful for all of us, certainly men. But I think if someone is, you know, or even if they're just venting or someone's telling you a story or saying something, they're like, yeah, and this happened. I think if you can just pause and genuinely say, gosh, how did that make you feel? And kind of like the woman who got the hug at the cash register, who just, she was so seen and heard in that moment and just had, you know, someone say, well, how are you? Or so even I think that your tone and inflection of asking someone, so how are you? And they might at first be like, oh, I'm great. But they'd be like, really? What's been going on? And they'll say, well, you know, actually, and then people will feel safe to kind of open up. So I think anytime you can just say to someone like, how did that make you feel? And let them reflect and let them say, you know what? It made me feel really shitty. I'm heartbroken. And then you can go down, you know, or even something you can say to, you know, what do people do? Oh, how was your trip to Australia? Oh yeah, it was good. Really? We'll say more about that. And kind of, you know, put it back on them like, well, you know, it was good because I got to see my grandma and I hadn't seen her in 10 years and she got this new cat. And then, you know, people are just, they start to open up. So I think the more you can just take a little pause and say, you know, tell me more. Or people be like, oh man, I've had the worst day. Really? Say more. well, you know, and just letting people kind of open up, and then, you know, you'll see what, like, see what's interesting to you and just follow up, but you got to pay attention. I think sometimes people are only half listening, and so they can't even think of like the next question because they're not paying attention.
So the lemonade and the half and half.
Oh boy.
Instead of the sweet tea. There you go. That's right. Intonation is definitely everything. It's like, hey, how are you? It's like, oh, well, how you really feeling, buddy? That's right. Indeed. That's right. Indeed. Ask folks to go deeper.
I like these questions. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure indeed. Let's see your reaction to this one. So if your fabulous book, The Full Spirit Workout, a 10-step system to shed your self-doubt, strengthen your spiritual core, and create a fun and fulfilling life, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Well, my first answer was pizza because it's my favorite food. And I my book is just, you know, an extension of my heart and soul. And, you know, it's comfort. It's delicious. But I don't think, I mean, it'd probably be like the gluten-free crust or like the Naples style pizza in Italy where they just make it with water and flour and love. So I think the healthy pizza with veggies that doesn't make your stomach hurt or bloated. So I'll go with healthy pizza because you get the deliciousness, but you also get some nutrition in there, and it's made with love.
Sweet. Oh, you were dialed in with that answer. Some folks usually take a while with that one. It's also good to see pizza making a comeback as a response. It's like, come on, pizza. That's how you go.
I love pizza.
That's right, indeed. It's a circle of love, a good old pie. That's right, indeed. In this case, a spiritual pie. That's right, indeed. All the whipped cream. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Now, before we go deeper into that wonderful, wonderful rabbit hole of pie, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you were to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Keep going, sister. Keep smiling. Keep loving hard. Keep getting back up. Keep laughing. Keep smiling. Have more fun. Don't take yourself so seriously. And it's all going to work out even better than you can imagine. I'm not saying it's easy, but it'll be worth it. And I love you.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. That's right. Indeed. Love yourself, y'all. That's right. Indeed. Love yourself and love on yourself. That's right. Indeed. Even if to fill an entire stadium with stuffed animals holding a corn cob so you can tell them about the weather. Like, definitely love on yourself. Indeed. That's right. Indeed. Well, folks who enjoyed this conversation, love the work that you're doing, need to keep up with it because you got more cooking and more to deliver. So for those who need to be on the up and up about all the stuff that you're doing and follow you, what's the best way for folks to do so, Kate?
You can just head on over to kateekman.tv. It's KateEckman.tv, or head on over to thefullspiritworkout.com and you can check out my book anywhere books are sold. I would love to connect with you online, Kate Ekman, on all the social media. And thank you so much. And Dom, thank you for just being such a bright mon and a bright light in the world. I appreciate you. And it was a joy being in conversation with you.
Woo-hoo. I'm glad the joyful feeling is mutual. So you heard that right, folks. KateEckman.tv. And check out our wonderful book, The Full Spirit Workout. That's right, indeed. You'll get your 8-pack spiritual abs, baby. That's right, indeed. You'll be lifting planets because spirit is powerful than the clay body, y'all. That's right, indeed. If you thought 6-pack abs on your body was good, would you get those 8-pack spiritual abs, indeed? Lifting planets, putting another ring on Saturn, because you definitely wanted to keep it for yourself, metaphorically, indeed. So keep up with her and all the stuff that she's doing. And the bonus points is that she actually has it on audio, too, and she's reading it. So if you want more of Kate's voice in your brain, in between your ears, you can do just that. So any parting words before we close up shop?
I think just to remember how powerful you are and that you really can do anything that you decide is important enough and achieve whatever you deem worthy, and to keep going. And if you need to pause or take a break, that's understandable. And please have a spiritual running buddy that you can reach out to. But you know, life is beautiful and meant to be savored and enjoyed. I think we forget that along the journey when things get tough, and you're not alone. And I'm proud of you, and I see you, and thanks for being on this journey with us.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.